Let's not get too highfalutin. Grandmothers ought to be people who are there.
Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, He is wise, He's powerful, and He calls us to put our faith in Him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Secure in the Everlasting Arms and God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And this is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, continuing my talks today to grandmothers. Here's a heart-rending letter. Being a grandmother, I need all the help I can get, especially to a little boy, age 9, whose father was killed 4 years ago and whose mother is living with another man. I don't get to see the little boy as often as I'd like to, but when I do, I try to always tell him of Jesus. However, the home is split up, and it's difficult for all of us. Pray for that dear grandmother. Another letter. I've always done volunteer work, and I still do, but it doesn't satisfy completely, even though I know God led me to the agency I work with. I know it's important to give my husband extra time now, which I have done by cutting down from the hours I spend away from home. I still feel restless, somewhat in limbo, wondering what I'm going to spend the next 30 years doing. I've prayed about this, but I don't seem to be able to connect with anything concrete. I enjoy the programs on child rearing, but would you do a series on midlife and the empty nest? Not the keep busy kind of program, but a deeper, spiritual, gut-level kind. Thank you. Well, I would hope that I've been talking about deeper, spiritual, gut-level kind of things. The deeper our walk with God, the more perfectly in our own humble daily lives we walk in company with Him, the more our influence is going to reach out to people that we can't even predict. And if this woman doesn't have grandchildren, then I would strongly suggest that she become a spiritual mother to some mother who does need her, some young woman who perhaps has little children. So she could then use her time becoming not just a mother, a spiritual mother to the mother, but a spiritual grandmother. And I have become sort of a surrogate grandmother to a family other than my daughter's family. And I'm grateful for this opportunity. But there is so much that we can do. And prayer is certainly a deep gut-level kind of thing. Gut-level, I guess, is not a very appropriate word when it comes to spiritual things. But it's not, I'm not just suggesting that you keep busy. I'm suggesting that you take onto your heart and participate intimately and deeply in the work of God in the lives of these people whom you can love. Another letter. I've been a homemaker with a bachelor's degree who has been full-time woman in the home for almost 28 years. Only part-time work through the years took me elsewhere. We raised 4 children. My husband died 1.5 years ago, at which time, shortly after this, I started listening to you, Elizabeth. You know the Lord put you on the radio especially for me. I still have 2 children who are in college. Even though I'm a widow with no one at home full-time, I'm still here full-time. Since my husband's death and the last kids off to college, I've struggled with the stay-at-home role. Many friends immediately thought a job would be good for me and suggested this. I had always been very happy at home, thanking God through the years for the role and privilege, and I didn't suddenly have this desire to leave and do an 8-to-5. I find that being a full-time homemaker is still a noble role for me for many reasons. My home is always open to college kids. I have time for Bible study and prayer. I am available to help out in a special ministry to the unsaved, plus any number of ways that God wants to use me. I also have available time to visit and stay with my parents, who live an hour away, whenever I choose. I always told my husband that I never had to worry about the women's liberation movement. I had always been liberated. I was at home and always free to do what God wanted me to do. I believe that any woman can have a rich, full life at home, whether with or without children. I believe that a married woman has a place in the home and is fulfilling the role God has for her. I want to thank you for that letter, and I want to say that I believe just what you do. I do thank God for women who understand that it is a noble calling. If I say to you that your job is to love God, does that seem too vague? Well, some of the specifics of what it means to love God you can find in Amy Carmichael's two little books, which are real gems that I strongly recommend to every one of you. Amy Carmichael's books, If, and His Thoughts Said. Somebody is out there, I'm sure, thinking, but I thought you were talking about grandmothers. Well, right now I'm suggesting that those of you who are grandmother age, but without grandchildren of your own, that you ask God to show you how to be a grandmother to other people's children. Do you remember hearing me talk about dear old Mrs. Kershaw? Well, I'm going to talk about her again. Mrs. Kershaw, as I look back, was sort of a surrogate grandmother to us. Somehow my mother found this old lady. She was a widow. She lived in a big, old, bare house all by herself, very sparsely furnished house. She was what you might call poor, and she was lonely. She was almost stone deaf, and my mother needed some help in the house in doing some of the lighter work, like making applesauce and washing dishes and doing a little bit of laundry in the machine. And so she asked Mrs. Kershaw if she would like to come and spend part of her days in our house. She was thrilled. She was the dearest old lady you'd ever want to meet in your life. She had been raised on a farm in New Jersey. She knew how to make everything from soap to soup. And she was God's gift to our family. Mrs. Kershaw would be picked up by one or the other of us in the morning. She always had a little sign on the door that would let us know that she was at home. She couldn't hear the doorbell, and so she left her door unlocked with this little sign that said, "I am home. Please come in." And so we would open the door and walk in and have to wander through the house until we found her. And she was never startled by our appearance. She would just look up with her shining face, sweetest smile, and a funny voice, since she had been deaf for so many years. She didn't know what her voice sounded like. And she would say, "Oh, here she is. Here's the daughter." She always called me the daughter. She called my sister by her name, but she called me the daughter. And I would pick her up, and she would come and get in the car. And if it was a miserable day, she'd say, "Oh, it's such a nice day today. It gives folks a chance to do what they want." She just was always happy. I don't know how many gallons of applesauce she made for us or how many thousands of brown sugar cookies she made. She would sit in the chair in my step-grandmother's room and talk to her. And, of course, both of them were deaf. So it was really something to overhear a conversation between those two deaf ladies. The remark of the one didn't necessarily have the slightest connection with the remark from another, so it was amusing at times. But Mrs. Kershaw would iron. She would spend her time doing whatever needed to be done. Would you call that spiritual work? Would you call that important in the kingdom of God? I have no question in my mind that it was of supreme importance. And I give you Amy Carmichael's word on this. If by doing some work which the undiscerning consider not spiritual work, I can best help others, and I inwardly rebel, thinking it is the spiritual for which I crave, when in truth it is the interesting and the exciting, then I know nothing of Calvary love. I'm going to read that again because we grandmothers need that. Let's not get too highfalutin about what we can do with our old age. We think we've got all this wisdom, we've got lots of experience, and there's no denying that. What does God want us to do with it? I want to read Amy Carmichael's words again. If by doing some work which the undiscerning consider not spiritual work, I can best help others, and I inwardly rebel, thinking it is the spiritual for which I crave, when in truth it is the interesting and exciting, then I know nothing of Calvary love. Grandmothers ought to be people who are there. I loved what that one lady said in her letter. I'm available. I have time to read my Bible. I have time to pray. I have time to be there when somebody needs me. And one of the sad things about modern life is that hardly anybody is at home. My husband and I one time picked up three high school girls who were hitchhiking, and it was during school hours. And so, of course, we were curious as to why they were out hitchhiking. Well, they said they'd gotten kicked out of school because of a false accusation. They got involved in some kind of a fight on the school ground, which they told us was not their fault. But they said, we were sent home, but we don't know where to go because nobody's home and we don't have a key. Three high school girls out on the highway hitchhiking. So we took them to the home of one of the girls who thought that maybe she'd be able to find a way into the house. Isn't it tragic? Where are the grandmothers, the prayers, the letter writers, the support group for the younger families? Will you be one of those?
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network. Mm-hmm.